Praise you, Lord. Well, let's turn over to Mark 11, 22. Praise God. We are going to... Well, let's just turn over there. Mark 11, 22. Thank you, Lord. Mark 11, 22. This is a familiar verse for some people. Kenneth Hagin did not write this. Kenneth Copeland did not write this. Andrew Womack did not write this. This is in the Word of God. If your Bible's like mine, it has red letters where Jesus spoke, and these letters are in red. So Jesus said this. You know, this is one of these things we'll get into a little bit, but you know, we're going to talk about that you can have what you say. I don't know, maybe I've talked about it different times, but you know, it's not something I preach about all the time, but it's definitely in there. These things have been ridiculed, they're mocked, even now, today, you know, it's just as something that is not true, is somebody's ideas and not the Word of God, or you know, excess, and you know, all you have to do, just Google certain things. I mean, all kinds of bad stuff comes out. You can't believe everything you see. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. There's bad stuff on the internet about everybody. Yes. And then, you know, what's really sad is that some people think they're doing a service or even serving God for writing. They think it's their ministry to critique people, and they think they use this wrong. They think they have a, you know, spirit of discernment, and that's not even used right, but they think they understand. So the God has blessed them with the ministry to criticize people and to point out what's wrong in their doctrine so that they can warn the body of Christ. And most of these people don't have a clue about real ministry. They're not really serving anybody. It doesn't do any good to tear other people. We ought to judge the Word, don't get me wrong, but you going and putting a website up to warn everybody about how somebody's in error is, you know, I don't know of a ministry gift that's called to do that. Generally, you're called to teach the Word. So you can find nonsense about anybody. I don't care who it is. Somebody disagrees with them. So you have to take all that stuff with a big grain of salt. And at the end of the day, we ought to look to the Word and let the Word speak for itself and rightly divide the Word. And if it says something, then we ought to believe that. If it doesn't, then throw it away. I don't care if I said it. I don't care who said it. We honor men, but you shouldn't be following a man. You're going to get messed up if you follow a man. You will. I don't care if it's me, if it's... You name it. You name whoever you want to name. If you say they are right, that doesn't matter. Whatever they say is gospel, you're going to get off and you're going to get hurt. And if you see something where maybe they weren't seeing something quite right, and nobody has perfect doctrine. No one. You guys got really quiet. You know, well, I think some such and such does. No, they don't. If you think they have perfect doctrine, you're wrong. Nobody believes 100% correct. Brother Hagin himself would say it. Nobody has 100% renewed mind. Right. We're all renewing our mind. We all have stuff that we're working out. And we're going to learn. Does anybody think you're not going to learn something when you get to heaven? You're going to walk in and you say, well, I already know all this stuff. No, I think we're going to all learn a few things. That means we don't know it all. That means we don't understand. The Bible says that we see as through a glass darkly. We don't see as we ought, but we will. We're going to know, and that doesn't mean we're going to know everything when we get to heaven, but we're going to see some things. It's going to be pretty neat, I think, now I understand why that happened. Oh, I understand what was going on. Oh, now I see clearly. That doesn't mean we're going to be God. Doesn't mean we're going to know everything. But we're going to know more than we know now. I don't think we understand how dark it is here. Even on a sunny day. Yes. It's dark here. It's marked by the curse. This world is fallen. Yes. Even the beautiful parts. It's not as beautiful as it once was. Yeah. It's been through a whole lot of stuff. So we don't know as we're going to know, and no man knows. And God anoints people to preach certain things and to emphasize certain things. But when we get into error is when we make a truth the truth. Did you hear me?
Yes.
You can take any truth and emphasize it to where it becomes the truth. It's all about this. You could take faith. Brother Hagin was anointed and called by God to teach my people faith. That's what God told him. And that's what he did. And we thank God for it. But if you think everything is faith, and it's just faith, faith is very important. You can't come to God. You can't believe on Jesus without faith. You can't believe for anything. To believe is to have faith. You were born again by faith. You're filled with the Holy Spirit by faith. You walk and believe for His strength for the day by faith. Faith is very important, but love is important.
Yes.
You know, relationships are important. Health is important. Wisdom is important. Self-control is important. All these things are important. You can't just base anything on one truth. Grace has received a lot of focus right now, and it's a truth, but it's not the truth. Did you hear me?
Yes.
You start saying it's just all grace, it's grace, 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 you will get into error.
Yep.
And the body of Christ has in a number of areas. Just they took a truth, and I believe that's an emphasis of God Almighty today, is grace. Because, you know, a lot of people that have had a lot of teaching on faith, if you're not careful, you can get legalistic. And now you think it's about you, and that's not what was taught. That's not what the Word teaches, but men can twist things. You start getting over here, well, God is bringing a renewal of the emphasis on what Jesus did. And so that's an emphasis, just like we had an emphasis on faith. But if you're not careful, you make it grace and not any faith, not have anything to do with you, which is not true, because you can't be saved unless you react to what God has already done through Jesus. To His grace, you react with faith. You think it's just all grace, so it has nothing to do with me having any kind of self-control or me having any kind of discipline or anything. That's error. You throw everything out and say it's about this. You could do this with any truth in the Bible. But if we'll just keep it balanced, if you'll just take the Word and believe the Word and take the Word for what it says, then you won't get into a ditch. You stay in the middle of the road. That's why I got to saying that by saying God has anointed men and women in the body of Christ to emphasize certain truths. Because Brother Hagin was anointed and gifted by God to teach my people faith, he founded Rhema Bible Training Center then. Now it's Rhema Bible Training College. He started that because he was one man and wanted to get that truth out. And he said, I can't. I'm doing everything I know to do, getting the word out, but I'm one man. I can't get this out. And he started a school to teach people to take that message and go out and bring that message to the world. So that's part of our DNA too, because that's part of our calling. Our family, I'm hooked up with the Rhema family. And just, it's not that something is better than the other, but, you know, it's just like your family. You didn't say your family is better, your natural family, better than somebody else, but that's your family. You have a closeness with them. Well, our family, we've been hooked up with the Hagins for years. You know, I grew up in Rhema churches, so quote unquote. My parents were born again in the charismatic movement, and then I grew up in Rhema churches, or people that were the Word of Faith that graduated from Rhema. And the biggest influences on my life were Brother Hagin, Andrew Womack, who was very influenced by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and these were they shaped me and formed me and my beliefs and helped me to see things in the Word. You guys know Pastor Gil, Mrs. Kissling, that we were in their church that they started. I was in there for 7 years in Lincoln, Nebraska. Learned a lot about they just grew me up so much. Well, that's my family. And so part of our calling is to teach faith. Because part of his calling was to teach faith. And part of our calling is that's going to be an emphasis on it. But you can't follow a man. You don't go, we'll use examples from Kenneth Hagin or examples from other people, but that's not, you don't say, well, such and such, this person said this, so it must be true. That's not true. You say the Word said it, and here's an example in somebody's life that illustrates what the Word says. You know, I'll use, especially on the Wednesday nights, I use a lot of notes from Rhema and some study guides and stuff. So you'll hear me use illustrations from Brother Hagin. That's because I'm just using those. They fit with the lesson. But that's not, you're not emphasizing a man. You're emphasizing the Word of God. If the Word of God does not say something that somebody said, it said, then throw it out. I don't care if I said it, anybody said it. If I say something and you have trouble squaring it, well, ask God, first of all. Ask God to show you. And study the Word for yourself. Study the chapter that it's in. Then study the book that it's in for context. Then study other books by the same author. And look up references. And let God show you by His Word. Don't go first and try to look up 50 links on the internet and see what other people say about it, because you'll get confused. Really quick, you'll get so confused. Well, this person says this. This person says this. What am I to believe? Well, what does the Word say? What does the Word say about the Word? You have to write. You have to divide the Word by itself. You judge the Word by what the Word says. This is real. If you hear something come out of somebody's mouth, it just doesn't sounds good. Just doesn't say. You're like, yeah, but there's this scripture. I can't get over it. Don't ignore that. I said, don't ignore that. Well, I know that sounds so good and I want to believe it. But man, the scripture just keeps ringing in my head. But what about this? Don't let it go until you have that settled. Because that's the Holy Spirit can quicken you and say, yeah, but what about my Word here? And that's how He's going to correct and teach and guide us. Is through His Word, number one, and His Spirit, number two. But the Spirit will never lead you apart from the Word. The Spirit will never say something. Somebody said, well, I got this call. I have this message from God. And they say it, and you can think of 3-4 scriptures off the bat that it contradicts. Throw it out. Yeah, but I saw an angel. I saw a vision. So, there's all kinds of cults and religions I can name that they said they saw a vision too. And a lot of them went off in the weeds. So if we'll just let the Word speak for itself, because at the end of the day, you know what a lot of people are doing? They're trying to believe a man, and they're wondering why it doesn't get results. Well, so-and-so said this ought to work. Now, devil, you're supposed to go. It doesn't work like that. You have to know it in the Word. Because who are you believing? At the end of the day, what are you standing on to believe for whatever condition or circumstance? What are you believing? You believe in the man that's gone? Maybe he's passed away, or maybe he's 1,500 miles away. Well, he said it. This ought to work. I saw it. He said it in his life, and I believe it. So why doesn't it work in my life? Well, who are you believing? You believe in what he said, or are you believing what he said about the Word? That's totally different. Because he can't heal you. He can't change your financial situation, but God can. So what did God say about it? So many times we spend more time reading about the Word than we actually spend time actually reading the Word. And it's really easy to do. I've been guilty of it. Because you know what I used to, I'd read like Brother Hagin's books, and like there was a scripture, I'd kind of skim over the scripture. What is he saying about it? Because I know what the scripture says. You know what? Because they're in a different type, and it's like, okay, that scripture. Now what's he saying about it?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's guilty of doing that?
No.
Because I know that, right? Well, you know what? If you don't act, I found looking at the Word is so important. That's why we look at the Word. Yeah. We're going to look at the Scripture. You look at it. It'll help you even if you're at home watching a message on television. If you're following along listening to a message, open the Bible if you can. Now, don't do it if you're driving. Or you're riding a bike or something. But if you're able to sit and look at the Bible, read it, because you will think, I know that scripture. But then you look at it, it's like, wow, look at that, actually says that right there. And it does something to you. But what do you want to know? You want to know what the Word says. You're going to go back, because the Word, if you believe it, is the Word of God. And who are you supposed to be believing? You're supposed to be believing God. That's why you can't just pull stuff out of the air and say, well, I'm going to believe for this. And as a whole lot of people do that too. I'm going to believe for... You're going to believe for that. Why? You're going to believe who for what? Because did God tell you that? Because then you'd be believing God and it's lined up with His Word. If He didn't tell you, then who you believe in for what? I picked this out of the... I'm going to believe for this new car because I like it. Did God lead you to believe and to claim that's what you ought to believe for? Because if He didn't, you're just pulling... Who are you believing? You're not believing anybody. Well, it says in the Word that, you know, we can believe God for this. Yeah, but did He quicken it to you about that specific situation? If it's not general, I mean, God believe, it says in His Word, we ought to be healthy. We ought to have a strong mind. We ought to walk in love. So there's generalities, but He didn't say anything about you having a specific thing or living in a specific area or having a specific job. You have no business claiming a certain job unless you believe God told you you should have that job. And now you can line up and say, I'm lining up with God who said I should have that, and I'm agreeing with Him. And now you're acting in line with Him on the earth. That's a whole lot different than saying, I like this over here, so I'm going to believe for it. See, then you're just pulling something out of the air. So we have to believe the Word of God. We said all that to say, yeah, there are things that are comments about all kinds of doctrines in the Word of God. You have to be, very careful about what you put in to through your eyes and listen to through your ears, trying to quote unquote find the truth. We ought to focus on the Word, but you start listening to a multitude of people about certain subjects, you will get confused. You should really, as a general rule, I would only follow just a few ministers or ministries, even more than two. If you start going much past that, they may say something slightly different. You can just start one. I'm not saying, don't take this what I'm saying as, you know, you just can't listen to more than two people. I'm saying generally, if you're really following, number one, you ought to have church. You ought to be hooked up with the pastor. But besides that, there's supplements. And if you try to just, some people think, I just got to get all the Word I can. They're listening to 12 people or watching 13 television shows and it's all about this Christian TV and then I got to see what this guy says and this guy, and I'm getting built up. You're not. You're getting diluted. Instead of just focusing on one stream and mostly on the Word of God, you have to listen to all this stuff. And there's a lot of just entertainment and a lot of stuff that isn't based on the Word. It's easy to get confused. We need to go back and, God, You show me. I would rather spend time just reading the Word. If you just read, you don't have to read tons of time. If you just ask God before you start, say, God, show me in Your Word. Enlighten. Your Word is truth. Your Word is light. Enlighten me, show me, teach me now by Your Spirit. Before you start reading the Word, you will see a difference. Read a chapter and actually read it. Don't read the same verse 12 times and halfway zone out and go back and read, realize you didn't read it and then read that part again. And just to get through your chapter, no, read a chapter and actually be open to God and take the time to read it. And don't try to get through it. Don't try to get, some people try to read 15 different things in the Word to try to get it done and didn't get an ounce out of all any of it. Where if they just take their time and read 1/10 that and really be open to God, you'd get so much more direction and illumination. Just like, because every verse in that Word is loaded with truth. And you'll be amazed how God just quickens you, shows you this and shows you that, and will quicken other scriptures to your mind. But said all that to say, there's a lot of different voices, there's a lot of different commentaries. The things that we're teaching here tonight, people will say, oh, that's just nonsense. Fine, you believe what you want to believe, we'll see you in heaven in a few years if you're a Christian. But if I've seen it in the Word, and I know it's in the Word, then I'm going to act on what the Word says. I don't care how many people believe it. We don't go by the majority. We don't go by, it's not a popularity thing. It is, what does the Word say, and there are different truths that have been lost in different areas of the body of Christ, and they got into tradition and lost certain things. The body of Christ started out with the early church, and you saw certain things happening. And those very things that people, you could see very clearly in Acts, have now, you don't see certain things. They're there, and they are in the earth, but in a large part of the body of Christ, you don't see them. And so people will make up all kinds of, over the years, you know, things have passed away, or this doesn't really mean what it looks like it means, and tongues aren't for today, and God doesn't heal today, and there are no apostles today. And all these things that if you just let the Word speak for itself, you have to shut your eyes and misinterpret it to believe so many of them. So just because there are certain areas that don't believe on certain things, have put these things away, I'm going after what the fullness of what God's Word, as I believe it says, that it really teaches. Now, I'm not saying I have every bit of truth, that I know, just like we said, I don't have perfect doctrine, but there are things that are in the Word that I've seen, that you've seen, and we need to hold those things as precious. We need to esteem them and not hold them lightly. Know that there will always be people and always be segments of people that don't believe certain things, and that should never keep us from acting on the Word and believing it. If you're going to dumb the Word down, we will never dumb it down in this church. As we grow, and we will continue to grow, we were never going to dumb it down to try to get more people, or to try... Where are people going to go to get the real Word if the church does not preach it? Where would I go? What would I do? Now, there are good churches around here in different areas, but we could use a whole lot more of them.
Yes.
You know, you look at the population of Massachusetts and New Hampshire, and we don't dent it. You could have many, many mega churches. You could have many, many 10,000 member churches. You still wouldn't even barely dent it. So we want more. We want people to know the truth. But as we're going about that, we're not going to dumb it down. We're not going to teach on something because it's going to be something that, water certain things down so that it will be, you try to get a crowd. What's the point of that? Get a crowd. There are all kinds of cults and things that are fake religions, false religions that have crowds. What does that, what does that mean? That you want that? There are denominations that don't believe certain things and are actually, I'm not saying there aren't believers in them, but by and large, the doctrine is often there's millions, if not billions, of people. What does that mean? We want to focus on what God has said, cherish what God has said, and go forth with the truth we have. You don't throw it in people's face. You don't have to get flaky with it. You don't have to get weird. And in some of the things like we're talking about, yes, what we're talking about right now, that you can have what you say, we're going to get into. Yeah, people have gotten weird about it. I grew up around it. My parents were born again when I was... 5 or something. I got born again when I was 6, and it was in the charismatic move. They were in the Catholic Church, and people were speaking in tongues and raising their hands in Mass. Both of my parents were born and raised Catholic. And it took them 2 years to leave the Catholic Church because there's so much fear in them of leaving. But then finally it got to the point where the people that were going to leave left, and the people that were going to stay stayed, and they went on. And they went to a Spirit-filled Lutheran church. And they went on the back wall, and this man had Brother Hagin's books. This was right when they were early. That's how we got introduced. And then we were in churches that taught the Word of Faith. I saw all kinds of flakiness. I saw all kinds of weirdness. People, go nuts with their quote-unquote confession and say stupid stuff. And why is that? Because they're people. Because people do all kinds of dumb stuff no matter what area it's in. It's not just Christians. It's any area. You just got to look on YouTube and see all the dumb stuff people do. Do all kinds of stupid stuff. They don't have to be Christian to do it. Well, Christians are flaky. No, people are flaky. People are weird. Don't have to be Christian. It's just you're weird. You get a Christian, become a Christian, you're a weird Christian. It's the same thing. So just because people have done dumb stuff with this, Brother Hagin, I've heard stories. People would go down. He's told him himself that people... come to school and they're thinking they're going to get married. And they're looking across across the room and confessing and believing that they're going to have that boy or girl for a spouse. I just confess, that's my wife over there. And they never met the girl. He's like, how do you know if you want to marry? You might get a little closer and talk to her and say, ooh, I don't want to know that lady. He said he had somebody come up when he was driving a Bronco and say, I just want you to know I'm claiming your Bronco. You know, and he's a nice man, but he would just walk away from people. They're saying something, he's waste his time, he'd just walk away from them. Yeah, there's dumb stuff. Yeah, people do stupid stuff. Does that mean it's not right? Not necessarily. Just because somebody takes a truth and runs into the wall with it, that doesn't mean it's wrong. How are we going to judge if it's right or wrong? By the Word. Because there are a whole lot of people that have been blessed and seen things happen. Amen. And it's real. Yes. And it's true. Yes. You know, I talk about the trip I made to the Philippines in 2005. But I tell you, these people over there, Pastor Paul Chase, who had been over there for 26 years at that point, you know, tall, got to be like 6'5", 6'6", white hair, and you all these little Filipinos, and his wife's 6'6", 6'1", and they're sticking out. But you go over there, and they've been over there for all these years, and you know the things that they would tell about things. And when we were there, we saw people get off of stretchers. You know, we prayed for and just in the knowledge we knew, saw a lady, you know, she had cataracts, and she couldn't see anything. She started to see light. She wasn't completely healed, but, you know, didn't know everything. I was trying to pray for her without putting any word into her. Unless it's a move of the Spirit, you can't do that. It has to be by faith, but we started talking to her and then prayed for her, and she started to see. There was another girl there that had a headache, and she started, her head just felt fine. There was people that had arthritis in their legs, and we prayed for them, and they were fine. And there was this guy that was, he couldn't walk at all. He was on a stretcher. Some other people in our group prayed for him, and he got up and walked. Hadn't walked for like 2 years. Or something. I mean, those are personal. And then you hear the stories that they have. And of course, we've heard about people being raised from the dead and blind eyes open and different things. There is a truth. God wants to do those things in the earth. But we have to believe what He said. And there's a whole lot of unbelief in the world. And they don't believe that the Word works. They don't believe in the supernatural. That's why you need to get together with other believers that believe. Now, it's not, we don't, like in this church, we don't emphasize this to the excess of others, but on Wednesdays, we emphasize, and I believe that what the Lord led us to do at the beginning of Wednesday nights, and at least for the time being, we keep doing that, is to preach on faith and healing. And to preach on that on Wednesday nights. So we emphasize it on these nights. Now let's get into the Word before we're almost done. We said all that to say, and that's all good. Mark 11:22. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We won't go much past 8. A little bit different, but we're getting into it. By way of introduction, Mark 11:22. So Jesus, you guys all there? So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, that's a portion of Scripture. That's not the only portion of Scripture. I believe we'll get into more of it. But look at what it says. Now, Jesus had cursed the fig tree. Maybe we'll read that at a different point. But he had cursed the fig tree. And when they were coming by it again, it was withered. And so he used it as an opportunity to teach. Verse 22, for he said, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So there's so much here. But look at verse 23. And we're not going to get that far tonight, but you gave a good introduction, and we're going to just focus here on this for now. There's other scriptures on your sheet. We're not going to get into too many, I don't think. But for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So there is a truth, and we'll just have time to introduce this tonight, but there is a truth that if you believe in your heart something and you speak it out with your mouth, that you put something into action in this earth that causes it to come to pass. Now, it's not just what you say. It's not just believing. It's believing in your heart and speaking it out. That's what gives it the punch, if you will. That's what spiritually makes something happen. You could say something off the cuff and not believe it. Some people say, "Well, that scared me to death." You don't just, you know, and then people get legalistic about certain things today. I heard Miss Aretha Hagen say that once. Not live, but on a video. She was sitting right next to Brother Hagen and said, "Well, that almost scared me to death." But she didn't mean it. She wasn't, you know, people say, "Oh, you never say that." Well, if you're saying, "Oh my gosh, I almost died." There's one thing with saying things seriously, and then there's another. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch what you say, but it's not just anything you say. It's what you say that you believe. And you start letting those things come out of your mouth. "Well, I'm stupid." And at that point, you're feeling stupid. You start saying that, you're putting things into motion that you don't want to happen. Let's just, you know, just introduce, let's just read a few scriptures here. We're not going to have time to teach a whole lot. But let's just look on your sheet there. I just want to give you a little bit of a flyover here, because this isn't the only scripture. Romans 8, or 10:8 says, "What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew 12:33 says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of it, treasure brings forth evil things." So what's in there is going to come out. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? In your heart." Verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and perverse lips far from you." What you have in your heart and how you maintain your heart is so important, because the issues of life spring out of it. If you'll maintain your heart, you'll have everything else will be put into place. People, if people don't maintain the word in their heart and building themselves up and maintain spiritually, every area of your life will be affected. Don't ever think you can coast and not put in and not maintain spiritually. You ought to maintain spiritually before you even maintain physically. Because if you do it the other way around, I'm not saying you don't eat, I'm not saying you don't exercise, but, you know, if you had to skip a meal and read the Bible, it's not going to kill you. But you start skipping reading the Bible, I don't care how many meals you eat. You can coast. Let me tell you, you can coast spiritually for a little bit. You may think you are, but actually you're depleting. Just like, I mean, you can coast more easily, I think, naturally. I mean, a few, you know, we could skip some meals and it wouldn't harm us, no matter what your body is telling you. "I'm going to die. Yeah, just feed me now." But we could skip it, and it's not bad to skip a meal once in a while just to put your flesh down. But our heart is critical in what we put in our spirit, because it's going to come out. And what comes out, when it comes out of the abundance of our heart, those are the words that are going to change things for good or for bad. Let's read one more. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. I also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. That we, having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I speak. See, I believed and therefore I spoke. We can have what we'll say. And it works either way. People are having what they say. And it does. The Bible talks in James about your mouth being a rudder. That you change the direction of your life with your words. And the longer I live, the more I see this is true. You start saying something out. Even if you don't believe it, you start saying, I will have this. I will do this. This is what I behave like. You know, I am strong. I am confident. I speak right. Whatever. You will see it start to show up because there is something, there are laws that happen that when you do that and you believe it, you may start out not even believing it, but as it goes in, out your mouth, in your ears, and you're watering that with the Word, it puts something in motion that your mind, the spiritual laws, and your body itself starts saying, that's what I'm going to do. You start putting these things into motion, and pretty soon you look up and you say, wow, this is actually happening. We just read five scriptures and we're just getting started about this very thing. The Bible, there's not just one scripture, there are a number, and it jives with the rest of the Word of God, that if we'll believe something in our heart, we'll speak it out, we will see things change. There is absolute actual power in our words because we have been given authority by the Creator. Yes. He is a Creator and He's given us a creative authority. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's 8:00. We just got wound up, but it's an introduction anyway. This would be at least a little series, even if it just goes one time.